You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
We don't think religion belongs in the Capitol, and we don't think irreligion belongs in the Capitol. We would take our sign down if they took the manger and the other signs down.
This tree continues our commitment that I started when I became Speaker, the greening of the Capitol to fight global warming.
At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail.
Do you think the tree symbolizes anything as far as Christmas and the birth of Christ?
Yes, I do. I do. I call it a Christmas tree.
A new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Our message is meant to represent the views of those who are not religious. There aren't any gods.
It is a bit frustrating when you open up a weekly news magazine, you find your religious beliefs, if not so much hung out to dry, but misrepresented. And that's frustrating. It's one thing to have people disagree with your religious beliefs, and they're actually disagreeing with the things you really truly believe. It's another thing to find those beliefs misrepresented. Sometimes the ignorance when it comes to the coverage of matters religious is so profound as to be mind-boggling. We're going to be talking about a little bit of that here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin with a short conversation on Newsweek magazine's cover story on gay marriage, and then we'll spend the rest of today's show talking about baptism. Is it a work of God, or is it the work of man? Dr. Andrew Doss will be our guest. Our call-in number, live this Monday afternoon, December the 8th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., a regular guest and a contributor to GetReligion.org. She joins us to talk about the cover story of Newsweek magazine on gay marriage. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, I'm going to quote you. This piece is disgusting, unfair, and unworthy of a high school graduate. It is the opposite of thought-provoking. It's a post-frontal lobotomy exegesis of Scripture. This is journalism. This is how people are supposed to cover the news today. What would provoke such a reaction from you, Molly?
I know it sounds like heated rhetoric, what I wrote there, but the piece was really just that bad. As you know, the cover story of Newsweek deals with, it's the biblical case for gay marriage. And so to begin with, the reporter, Lisa Miller, who is a senior editor at Newsweek and oversees all the religion coverage of that magazine, her piece is riddled with errors and completely misrepresents the case against same-sex marriage taken by religious conservatives. So her first line is, let's try for a minute to take the religious conservatives at their word and define marriage as the Bible does. Now, never mind that this actually isn't what religious conservatives do, and they don't say that we're going to define marriage as the Bible does. Usually the case for the case against same-sex marriage in a civil context is made based on natural law, and it's a completely secular argument based around the idea that every child has the right to have a father and a mother and that fathers should stick around and help raise children and whatnot. But she then goes on to say that she points out that Abraham, this great patriarch, had sex with a servant when he found out that his wife was infertile, and gives all sorts of other examples from the Old Testament of men who generally were not behaving properly. And then she says, and the New Testament model of marriage is hardly better. She says that Jesus said nothing about earthly attachments such as marriage, and he, in fact, suggested that people be single. He says that Paul gave a lukewarm endorsement of marriage. I mean, I don't think anyone with any intellectual rigor could ever say that anything Paul said was lukewarm. I mean, the man is known for being the opposite of lukewarm when he talks about anything, and has written somewhat extensively on marriage and how it's a metaphor for so many different things, and Christ's relationship with the church and how men are supposed to treat their wives and wives are supposed to treat their husbands. And it completely ignores all of this. And then, of course, goes on to say that, in fact, the Bible pretty much just endorses homosexuality. I mean, just look at King David and Jonathan. I mean, it is idiotic. It is stupid. It's so ignorant. I cannot believe that it made it into a mainstream publication, much less is the cover story. It completely misrepresents religious conservatives' belief on marriage, their belief on homosexuality, their belief on scripture. I mean, it's just that ignorant.
So, which of your sensibilities are offended more? Your sensibilities as a Christian or your sensibilities as a journalist?
I don't know, actually. It's funny, because I critique the media for a living, and because I'm a member of the media, I tend to be more sympathetic to how difficult it is to construct a story and to how much effort people do put into their stories to make sure that they're balanced and fair. And then you see something like this, and it's so shoddy. I mean, it's riddled with factual errors. And so I actually think maybe the greater disservice is to journalism here, in that it's not even a worthy opponent in terms of any sort of theological discussion. It's just embarrassing. Lisa Miller should be embarrassed as a journalist. Theologically speaking, it's not even at the level that should be taken seriously.
Well, let's respond to one of the things that she asserts there, and you've alluded to it before, and that is, look, Christians, even if they will make reference to Scripture, Holy Scripture, with regard to their defense of traditional marriage, they got no case to make. You do have Abraham, who's a polygamist. There's no two ways about it. David, who's an adulterer and a polygamist, and you do have Paul at times sounding, cautious about the institution of marriage, at least with regard to himself. How would you respond to that? People say, these are supposed to be the examples of traditional marriage?
Well, I don't know exactly if they are supposed to be the examples of traditional marriage. I mean, I think that if you read the Bible as a salvation history, something that teaches us what we need to know in order to be saved, you're looking at men who are deeply flawed, who are still God's chosen people, who confess their sins and receive forgiveness. You're looking at, I don't know if it's entirely, it's not like you're supposed to, say, cheat on your wife when you find out she's infertile because Abraham did it. God was very angry that Abraham and Sarah didn't trust in him when he told them they would have offspring. They didn't believe him, and they tried to take care of things on their own. It's almost, if there's any lesson to be learned, it's that, bad things happen when you don't trust in God, and bad things happen for, generations upon generations. If you look at what happened with their little plan to have Abraham procreate with Hagar, the slave, their slave. But on the other hand, it actually kind of reinforces the point. I'm not a big fan of polygamy, obviously, but there isn't really any example in any of these unions of anything other than heterosexual marriage. I mean, even if you're a polygamist, it's just a series of heterosexual marriages. It's not like the women are engaging in relations with each other or the various wives. So it kind of just reinforces the point that marriage for thousands upon thousands of years has been heterosexual in nature. And also, Paul and Jesus both talk about how it can be very good to be celibate. They also both specifically stipulate that is only for a select group of people to whom that gift is given. So it's not like an endorsement for social policy. So I don't know. And then also, of course, throughout Scripture, marriage is is so strongly supported. I mean, there's so much written about marriage and how important it is to the family and how men are to sacrifice for their wives and women are to respect their husbands. I mean, it just fills Scripture. So there are many biblical cases to be made for marriage. There are many things to learn about marriage from Scripture. It's just not any of the lessons that Lisa Miller drew from it.
You write often about how journalism, by and large, doesn't get religion. This piece that you're critiquing here seems to be of a different caliber. This isn't just not getting it. What is it about 1 minute?
Yeah. It is not getting it, and that she clearly just doesn't even understand religious conservatives at all. And this is the senior religion writer for a major publication. But it's also just advocacy, and she has made a straw man argument that religious conservatives oppose gay marriage because they think the Bible offers the model for marriage and that gay marriage doesn't fit into that. And so it's just straight up advocacy. There's nothing, there's no reporting in this. There is literally no reporting of opponents of same-sex marriage in this entire piece. It's just an advocacy piece. It's nothing other than opinion, and it's not even informed opinion.
If you were Lisa Miller's editor, I know she's the religion editor, but if you were her superior editor with about 30 seconds, and she would have handed this in to you, what would you have suggested by way of changes to make it worthy of Newsweek's masthead?
Well, first of all, I would have had some fact checkers look at it, since clearly that never happened. I mean, the piece is riddled with factual errors about what is or is not in Scripture. And I would have suggested that she get back on the phone and talk to some religious conservatives, ask them if she portrayed them correctly, ask them if she got their biblical analysis correct, and balance the piece out.
Well, maybe they could use Molly Ziegler-Hemingway at Newsweek. You can read Molly Ziegler-Hemingway's critique of the Newsweek magazine cover story on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Molly is a journalist in Washington, D.C., and contributor to getreligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll remain on we're going to do the remainder of the hour on baptism. In fact, it's the beginning of a three-part daily series on baptism. Today, we're going to start with baptism and salvation. There are many Christians who believe that baptism has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. It is simply a symbolic act, something you do, an ordinance that you're commanded to carry out for whatever reason after you are saved. Is that what the Bible teaches about baptism? What do you believe about baptism? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Andrew Dawson, baptism after this.
Time just stood still for one boy, one girl, two hearts beating wildly.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
A Dutch ship makes waves in the abortion battle.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A Dutch organization called Women on Waves sails a boat around the world seeking to help women get around their country's abortion laws. In October, the group went to Spain, where abortion is restricted, and took Spanish women to international waters where they were given the abortion drug RU486. The boat's presence attracted hundreds of protesters and supporters, including a group of feminists who, according to the Catholic news agency, passed out boxes of matches with the picture of a burning church and the caption, "The only church that brings light is the one that burns."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.